Welcome back, host. Have a great show.
Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back, and we are Reclaiming the Republic, as well as you, if you're willing to join. I'll get into some of that a little bit later, like film at 11, but I also need to state that the show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org and RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only, and I mean the only show that's on air, and as a matter of fact, I have to scan through all of the different hosts out there, and I know they probably talk about those things that infuriate you, and like I always just call all of those things, it's just all a part of the same train wreck. But anyway, you are listening to the only show that actually has an irrefutable argument for saving our Constitution. Therefore, if you become a part of this, and all you've got to do is actually start supporting the Constitution. There's many ways to do that. We can get into that. But you are listening to literally the only show that actually has the tangible solution in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. Not sure if that matters, but every time I talk to people, everybody talks about the out-of-control spending. Bottom line, 80 to 90% of that is unconstitutional. Get compliance, we don't even have a spending problem. We'll have a revenue problem because we'll be making up too much money and be able to pay down that debt too quickly. The whole world will be in shock. Anyway, the number to call in if you want to talk about the Constitution, and I have that standing question tomorrow. It's open lines, so if you've got your own question, by all means. Or if you do have a comment, I don't do the filtering. I mean, I would much rather have somebody call if they've got an open question. But anyway, I do have a standing question to help prod you, and I'll get into that. But the number to call in is 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK. So, as I always say, this show is dedicated to those who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny, as well as those leaders. And I make a direct connection, let's say that, between who the employer is and who the employee is in regards to politics, because the central committee of the counties or legislative districts truly are the employers and the employees who need that label, who need that endorsement from that central committee, are literally, you know, the ones begging and asking. And it's the only time, usually during a political career, where the politician actually recognizes that they need the electorate and very key people. But as soon as they take office, we know that they act like they don't need anybody anymore, or too many of them are in that paradigm. So that's why this show is dedicated to both sides of this aisle, the employer and the employee in the political framework. So if we can get any of those to stand up for the Constitution, then they are a part of the family, because that means they're willing to commit to protecting all of us from federal tyranny. I want you to think about that. If they're literally standing up for their state, they're also standing up for all states. They're standing up for all of us. As you know, I've interviewed a lot of Wyoming governor candidates, and I told you I'd start airing that probably today. And not that I lied, it's just that I think it's really important that we get through the Kentucky resolutions and why it is so important for the states to understand what it is they are doing. And so how do they have the controls and or impact in the direction of this country? Because they've been sleeping at the wheel, and it's time to wake them up. Got to be gentle, though. We don't want them to just grab the wheel and throw us off the road. Anyway, as I said, I was going to air those today, but actually we need to finish the resolution. So we will be airing these tomorrow, because barring any other problems and me going on and on too much, I actually see that I will be able to get through the resolutions today. So with that, let me just basically tell you that I've scanned the news, I've looked out the window. There is no sign that the federal government is going to take back any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers, which means if we're going to get rid of any of the tyranny, it is dependent upon us to act, and we're going to have to get engaged. And so the process of getting engaged is getting our state legislators to call for the audit, as you know, and call for Republic Review. If you don't understand those things, you're new to the show, we do get into that. We will get into that. We also point you to where that data is, reclaimingtherepublic.org, right there on the homepage, reclaimingtherepublic.org. That is where you can get the bullets of the academic argument for Republic Review, as well as the descriptions of the steps. And if you need more, listen to the show or wait for more content, buy my books. anyway, I really try not to peddle my book. So anyway, let me move on and let me go through some news that I think is kind of newsworthy, because some things we actually have to deal with and some things take a long time to overcome. And I noticed today that the U.S. Navy is dedicating a guided missile destroyer to John McCain. It's going to be the USS John S. McCain. I don't understand why this is happening, but to me, this seems like whoever is involved in the naming of these ships, it's either they're deliberately trying to rub salt on the wounds of liberty, or they're absolutely clueless as to who some of these people are, because I cannot understand why we've named so many ships after people that have stepped on our liberties or have been advocates for subjugation. And John McCain has been one of those advocates. Now, I'm not an advocate for changing names, like, you know, all of a sudden changing Jefferson School to, you know, some other person's name. That was pretty common, you know, throughout the 80s and so forth, where we literally started changing road names and high school names. I'm not an advocate for that. But I am an advocate of having some standards, and they have to align with our core principles. Those should be the names we should choose are the true stalwarts and true advocates for individual liberty and individual sovereignty. John McCain was not one of those. He was definitely not, and I can't understand why. Maybe you can help if you want to call and you have that insight. Another thing that's kind of playing out is this Peter Strzok testimony and so forth. And this is obviously playing out, and he's actually playing by the progressive rule card, which is admit nothing, deny everything, always have an out or an alibi, make counter accusations, and never acknowledge the evidence. That is their rule card. I want you to understand that there is very little difference between most intelligence operatives like himself or people that work in that type of intelligence side. So there's different disciplines of intelligence, right? There's human intelligence, and then there is imagery intelligence, IMINT, or what they call geospatial intelligence. There is SIGINT, which is the NSA side of both COMINT, SIGINT, ELINT, and so forth. And, you know, that's just listening to signals, capturing, you know, communications, that type of stuff. The human, though, which is, you know, the forte for the FBI, CIA, and so forth. Human is very much like Hollywood. You got to understand that these people learn to live to lie. Because what does an actor do? What does Tom Cruise do? He takes on a persona of a person. And if they're successful, they can actually act and give you the appearance that that is what that person is. And so sometimes people get stereotyped because they're just so good of an actor into certain types of roles. And as you look at these actors, what they are literally doing is they are lying. They're not being themselves. They're literally being somebody else. That's what these FBI intel agents are doing is the same. This is what the deep state has been doing. It is all the same. They are all trained liars. The fact that he is claiming he did not allow his bias to affect his job with evidence that points otherwise means he's lying. Gohmert eloquently points out today that his bias obviously affected his marriage, which led to an affair or adultery, right? So how could he, you know, I don't know. To me, I think that your commitment in marriage has to surpass your commitment to your job or employer, period. I mean, it is the definer of your human character, that commitment right there to the one person that you are committed to, you know, through life, death, and everything else, right? And so if here's a person that is willing to actually use his biases and get beyond that commitment to find some way of justifying a sordid life that he lived, then how can we believe, seriously, how can we believe that this man was not allowing his other biases to impact him at work? I have been railing on the fact that we cannot do that. As a matter of fact, we are so ideologically tuned that there is no, I mean, school teachers, like, they keep their biases at home. I'm telling you, we have to start acknowledging and living and accepting the fact that we are ideologically attuned, and that we need to start ensuring that we have equal representation in every position, whether that be school, education, government, what have you. We need to make sure that if there are liberals, we have to have equal conservatives or constitutionalists and so forth, because right now they've been monopolizing all of these positions, and it's no wonder we have a deep state. At a hard break, we'll be right back after this. Thank you very much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Well, so ever since I've been on Red State Talk Radio, if you've listened to this show a few times, you've probably heard me rail on morality and how we've been debased as a society. Remember, that morality issue that is plaguing our society is just playing out in this wreckage that we're seeing in some of these characters in the deep state. Just remember that adultery used to be a punishable crime, and we have been influenced and manipulated by the mainstream media. How many of you have seen, I've mentioned Tom Cruise, how many of you have seen Tom Cruise in Minority Report? If you remember the very beginning of that movie, because still today, I believe it is still legal in most every state of the union. So this is how Hollywood tries to manipulate thought. If you look at the very beginning, they swarm upon a house where a guy comes home and is going to find his wife in a adulterous affair. And supposedly, he's guilty of murder because he goes into a fit of rage and wants to shoot them. And so, again, my point is that in every state in the union, practically, I believe it is not necessarily legal, but I mean, there is a legal excuse for when somebody walks in the heat of passion and they lose control, because I've gone through a murder trial on a jury before, and that is one of the defenses that a person can have, is that they've lost control based on the heat of passion. So the question is, what are we doing to ourselves as we get programmed and tuned into this sensitivity that, oh, that's a crime? What? Hold it. Since when was adultery not a crime? Since when what was going on there is now acceptable and defendable by society that, oh, if you wanted to, you know, go to the ultimate expression of violence because you have felt like your marriage has been completely violated, the most sacred thing in your life probably, or almost, then we're debasing ourselves. And that goes and plays, I believe, with this whole Strzok testimony and what he's been doing. This guy has no morals. He is the epitome of moral turpitude. And so do not let these biases affect, you know, our society anymore, because these biases do affect these individuals' actions. That's why we need to step into the education system and everywhere, regardless of who's in control of it. We have to make sure that there is an equal number of ideologues, and we want to make sure that certain ideologues do not have a monopoly on a very specific narrative. They've been hoodwinking us for a long time, but we have to start waking up, folks. It is naive to think that people can actually, you know, have this hardcore, deep and rooted, ingrained bias and ideology and not have it affect them. I think the framers understood that. And I think that is one of the reasons why they put into Article 6 of the Constitution that there shall be no religious tests for anybody that's seeking public service. So it's one thing if you're seeking public service, but it's another thing if you're employed. And I truly believe that we, you know, just like you want to make sure you have equal people at an election, you know, for counting and verifying at a precinct or what have you, you need to have equal representation in that schoolroom as well. And so that is how we've been debased as a society. So without a doubt, the government's executive departments, as we look at this deep state, for almost a century have been weaponized as leftist tools and enforcement. This goes all the way back to the progressives when they started weaponizing the ATF, the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Fire, when they passed prohibition and they started moving in, literally enforcing the Prohibition Act. And so even though that was a constitutional thing, my point is that that was the big justification of weaponizing these agencies. And so now we look at the outcome and we go, okay, so now this is controlled by a bunch of ideologues like the IRS, who's been attacking people for a long time. It wasn't just under Obama. Clinton was one of the first who actually used the IRS to attack their political enemies. Do you remember that? I do. So anyway, and you can't tell me that even during the Clinton time, those guys were already ideologically wired for that, and they were loving it, because it's not like the whistleblowers were coming out of the woodwork in the IRS. Hey, you know, we're doing something we shouldn't be doing. They were loving every minute of it, like I said. So the question I have, and I ask this a lot, is what is it going to take to help wake people up? What is it going to take to motivate you to start taking action and saying, you know, no more? The whole point of all of this, my friends, is that this is all unconstitutional. This is federal tyranny. What is it going to take to finally say, you know what? If there is a way to stop this, I'm going to get in. I'm vested. And so there is a way to stop this. This is why I am so active down in the trenches in the state legislator races. We need to get state legislators who are willing to protect us from federal tyranny, who's willing to go in and dismantle all of this federal leviathan that is unconstitutional. Either that, or they will force the process of at least amending the Constitution so it's legitimate. It's one thing if it's legitimate, right? Then we were stupid enough to give it to them. But it's not. They're taking it from us, and we don't have to take this, my friends. All we've got to do is stand up and actually assert our authority over the child in the relationship of the parents and the children. The parents are the states, and the child is the federal government. They only have superiority or supremacy over those delegated powers, which are very defined, as Madison said. Did Madison lie when he said that? Heck no. Who's been lying to us? All the people that have said contrary ever since, John Marshall and the rest. And as Douglas Gibbs talked about earlier this week when I had him on the show, he clearly identified how John Marshall and many of these men were liars. Go read his book. That has got to be a great book, because he is actually calling out these liars with machinations and nefarious designs in trying to undermine our constitutional republic. I hope our liberty means something more to us than just, you know, for namesake. Oh, we're a free society, but the government rules us with an iron fist. Come on. What is it going to take? Really, we have more than enough evidence of manipulation, both internally and externally. I'll give you an external example. When Obama used his tools within his executive agency to help to try to help against Netanyahu's re-election. And so, I mean, that right there is evidence of the deep state trying to support external influences. I'm just telling you that these players that are all involved in this, they do not care about the lives involved. We are all expendable. And if you think that it won't affect you down the road when they're finally able to implement every single policy and subjugate us to the degree that they want to, then we will rue the day that we didn't stand up. And as a matter of fact, let me just ask you this. How are you going to look your kids in the eye when you say, yeah, I heard about Republic Review. Yes, I knew about these things, and I didn't do anything. The framers were men of character that understood that it was all on the line for their posterity. That's why the preface of the Constitution says what it says, that they do this for the tranquility, for their posterity. You know what? I'm going to have to pull that up, and I will read that after the break. But I want to get through all of this. Let me go into this, that they only care about their ends. All of these players are seeking a very specific end, and that is control. We are clearly seeing Plato's plan executed by the most diabolical criminals in the history of the world. If you think Hitler and Stalin, they're just waiting in the winds to be able to close these deals. Dare I say that this is at a biblical proportion, and we do not have to take it. We can actually stand up and literally change the game, and there is a reason why America, the United States, is not, you know, identified in those biblical proportion times. So the question is, what are we going to do? Are we going to allow ourselves to go into this complete civil unrest? Or are we going to take control? I'm telling you, we're far better off in control, because then we have the ability to control the outcome as we go into this process and come out of it standing much taller and stronger and a much more powerful nation. If you think America is the most powerful republic in the world today, you cannot imagine America unleashed economically. We're no longer being thrown under the bus by the globalists who want to socialize and subsidize communism around the world at our expense. I've been saying this for a long time. We are a much better country, and we can come out of this much stronger if you start getting outside the paradigm and outside the view of what they want you to think. So, as I always do, let me kind of lead into, because actually I don't have enough time, but I'm going to lead into, if we're not using the Constitution to fight our battles, then we risk almost certainly that we're going to lose them. And so our only defense and our only weapon is the Constitution. I'm at a hard break. So when we come back, we're going to get into some really good stuff that Jefferson was saying in the Kentucky Resolution. So you want to stay tuned to this, because this is exactly what we need to do. And this is really hot. So we'll be right back. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. Okay, so we're going to get into Thomas Jefferson writing with the Kentucky legislators, okay? And so the question I have, because these are the words of Thomas Jefferson. When I'm actually reading the words of Madison, Jefferson, and the rest of these framers, the question I always beg you is, who's lying? Are the words that I am reading that were written by Thomas Jefferson and these legislators or Madison or whomever, are those the words of lies and deceit just to get us to buy this bag of goods? Or has the wool been pulled over our eyes by our education system, by the progressive lawyers and college professors and politicians and jurists and so forth? Who's lying to us? Because clearly, when you read the actual definitions of the contract in the ratification debates, which are legally binding, those words have to stand as the definition. And when people say that those words don't stand, then I'm telling you, they're lying. But I want you to come to that conclusion. So I've read resolutions 1 through 7 in the past couple of days. So this is resolution 8. And this is pretty interesting because this is the mechanism that they're showing you what they're doing here. Because I've already told you that Jefferson is basically, in these previous resolutions, has been auditing the Constitution, identifying who has the authority, identifying that this is an egregious violation, you don't have the authority to do this, blah, 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 right? So here in the 8th resolution, he says that a committee of conference and correspondence be appointed who shall have in charge to communicate the preceding resolutions to the legislatures of the several states. So he's talking about creating a committee of correspondence amongst the states so that they can communicate what's going on. Because what he's literally talking about doing is almost like what I call for is an online convention, getting all of these states to get online and to basically acquiesce and to coalesce, then acquiesce on the principles that these are violations of the contract, right? And so, where was I? To assure them that this Commonwealth continues in the same esteem of their friendship. So he's also kind of pointing out that, hey, we're still friends amongst each other. The enemy is the child. Anyway, same esteemed of their friendship and union, which it has manifested from that moment at which a common danger first suggested a common union, that it considers union for specified national purposes and particularly to those specified in their late federal compact. Again, he's calling the Constitution a compact to be friendly to the peace, happiness, and prosperity of the states, that faithful to that compact, according to the plan, intent, and meaning in which it was understood and acceded to by the several parties, it is sincerely anxious for its preservation, that it does not also believe that to take from the states all the powers of self-government and transfer them to a general and consolidated government without regard to the special delegations and reservations solemnly agreed to in the compact. This is just eloquent. He's just really saying we have all of this authority. We need to interpose and we need to force them to live by the terms of the contract. Is not for the peace, happiness, or posterity or prosperity of these states, and that therefore this commonwealth is determined as it doubts not its co-states are to submit to undelegated and consequently unlimited powers in no man or body of men on earth, that in cases of an abuse of the delegated powers, the members of the general government being chosen by the people, a change by the people would be the constitutional remedy. But where powers are assumed which have not been delegated, a nullification of the act is the rightful remedy. So what he's talking about is not a state nullification. He is talking about all of the states nullifying it. Because bottom line, if only one state nullifies the Department of Education, then that does nothing, because the Department of Education will still get 100% of its funding. It'll still be operating its Common Core crap down your throat. So nullification by a state is nothing. But when all the states nullify, that is not necessarily is a simple term to understand. What that means is that the states have to interpose and force the federal government to nullify it. That Congress actually calls for the dismantling of the Department of Education, and in that process, they have to acknowledge, Congress has to acknowledge that they failed to follow the contract, Article 5, in getting this new role, responsibility, or power for them to exercise from the states. So they failed to follow that. And so they have nothing to do other than to dissolve this until the states have the desire of delegating that power to them. And my friends, they should never have that responsibility. The states would be far better served either maintaining that or setting up a separate polity for domestic issues. I talk about this in my book. The federal government should be foreign, outward facing for national defense against the external energies that would be coming upon us. Even though within the Constitution there are some, I believe that we've reached a point in time and we're too big of a union to literally say, hey, you know, we need to do this. Using militias at the national government would be the one maintaining this, you know, army and so forth. There has to be some very educated discussions on how we are to deal with internal, you know, civil unrest and those types of things, because I truly believe we do not want those people who have the sophisticated artwork of war to literally use that type of technology and weaponry against U.S. citizens, regardless of how bad they are. Anyway, let me go on, because he basically says, the members of the general government being chosen by the people, a change by the people would be the constitutional remedy. But where powers are assumed which have been delegated, a nullification of the act is a rightful remedy. That every state has a natural right in cases not within the compact. And so, and he calls it out as casus non federatus, and I'm not good with Latin, I'm terrible with names, but I want to point out that it is inherent that if you are the stakeholder over that contract, and is apparently in this particular case, because the Supreme Court's jurisdiction is limited per Article 2, Section, or per Article 3, Section 2, to those things that have been ratified by the Constitution, by the states, as well as treaties that have been ratified. So, in other words, if we didn't amend the Constitution to give the federal government oversight of marriage and to be able to dictate how marriages are to be and how they're not to be, then the federal government has no business meddling with it. And those are the words of George Nicholas during the Virginia ratification debates. Or Madison says they have no jurisdiction. It has to be within the listed or enumerated powers of the Constitution, or they have no jurisdiction. So anyway, let me repeat that every state has a natural right in cases not within the compact to nullify of their own authority all assumptions of power by others within their limits, that without this right, they would be under the dominion, absolute and unlimited, of whatsoever might exercise this right of judgment for them. So this part right here is saying that the states actually have the right to, you know, to try to kill the elephant with the fly swatter, so that they do not have to be subjects. But it doesn't mean that you can stop, you know, all of the progress of the evil that is going on. That's why the states collectively are the only way to kill this elephant or to kill this monster, the Leviathan. There we go. That without its rights, dominion, okay, I already read that, so I'm sorry. That nevertheless, this Commonwealth, from motives of regard and respect for its co-states, has wished to communicate with them on the subject, that with them alone it is proper to communicate, they alone being parties to the compact and solely authorized to judge in the last resort of the powers exercised under it. That's exactly what I've been telling you, right? That's Jefferson telling you what I've been telling you uneloquently, where he has just articulated it so masterfully. Congress being not a party. Didn't I not say that? The President, Congress, and the Supreme Court are not parties to the Constitution. They have been given very defined and specific roles in the Constitution, and that is it. Why are we surrendering? So I ask people questions all the time, especially legislators, state legislators, or any type of leader. Why would you surrender to a court with no jurisdiction, the jurisdiction of your case, when you are the superior in this particular case? I mean, come on. Why is it that it's almost like, you know, putting up the white flag when you go into war? They already have the advantage, and they will leverage their advantage every time. And that's why the states have always been losing those battles. Anyway, we're going to be right back, and I've got a little bit more for this, and we'll get through this in this next segment. So please stay tuned, and we're going to wrap up the Kentucky resolutions. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Oh.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so I can finish this, let me just jump right in, because this, and I'll repeat that he says, Congress being not a party, and what he's referring to is Congress is not a party to the compact or to the Constitution. They have jobs to do, but they're not stakeholders, but merely the creature of the compact. In other words, they're created by it and subject as to its assumption of power to the final judgment of those by whom and for whose use itself and its powers were all created and modified, that if the acts before specified should stand, these conclusions would flow from them, that the general government may place any act they think proper on the list of crimes and punish it themselves, whether enumerated or not enumerated by the Constitution as cognizable by them, that they may transfer its cognizance to the president or to any person who may himself be the accuser, counsel, judge, and jury, whose suspicions may be the evidence, his order the sentence, his officer the executioner, and his breast the sole record of the transaction, that a very numerous and valuable description of the inhabitants of these states being by this president reduced as outlaws to the absolute dominion of one man, and the barrier of the Constitution thus swept away from us all. No ramparts now remain against the passions and the powers of a majority in Congress to protect from a like exportation or other more grievous punishment the minority of the same body, the legislatures, judges, governors, and counselors of the states, nor their other peaceable inhabitants who may venture to reclaim the constitutional rights and liberties of the states and people, or who, for other causes, good or bad, may be obnoxious to the views or marked by the suspicions of the president, or be thought dangerous to his or their election or other interest, public or personal, that the friendliest alien has indeed been selected as the safest subject of a first experiment, but the citizen will soon follow. Is that not eloquent? I mean, he's saying that, okay, we're going to stand by and watch them assault these aliens, but soon they'll be coming after the citizens. The subject of a first experiment, but the citizens will soon follow, or rather has already followed, for already has a sedition act marked him as its prey, that these are the successive acts of the same character, unless arrested at the threshold, necessarily drive these states into revolution and blood, and will flourish new calamities against Republican government and new pretexts for those who wish it to be believed that man cannot be governed but by a rod or iron, that it would be a dangerous delusion where a confidence in the men of our choice to silence our fears for the safety of our rights. That confidence is everywhere the parent of despotism. Free government is founded in jealousy and not in confidence. It is jealousy and not confidence which prescribes limited constitutions to bind down those whom we are obligated to trust with power. That's exactly what they gave them, was a binded down constitution. That our constitution has accordingly fixed the limits to which and no further our confidence may go, and let the honest advocate of confidence read the Alien and Sedition Acts and say if the Constitution has not been wise in fixing limits to the government it created, and whether we should be wise in destroying those limits. Let him say what the government is, it is not a tyranny which the men of our choice have can err on our president, and the president of our choice has assented to and accepted over the friendly stranger to whom the mild spirit of our country and its law have pledged hospitality and protection, that the men of our choice have more respected the bare suspicion of the president than the solid right of innocence. The claims of justification, the scared force of truth, and the forms and substance of law and justice in questions of powers, and this is a long resolution, isn't it? Then let no more be heard of confidence in man, but bind him down from the mischief by the chains of the Constitution. And see, this is why I'm going to go back to the whole point that the Constitution was a contract. And so as long as the states are still the stakeholders, they can enforce their contract, regardless of how far this child has run amok. We still have time. It is only when the states finally relinquish their stakeholdership and allow the federal government or these politicians with evil machinations actually decide to set aside our Constitution. So let me go on. That this Commonwealth does therefore call on its co-states for an expression of their sentiment on the acts concerning aliens for the punishment of certain crimes herein, before specified plainly declaring whether these acts are or are not authorized by the federal compact. And it, so this again is pulling in the states to audit this compact. And it doubts not that this, their sense will be so announced as to prove their attachment unaltered to limited government, whether general or particular, and that the rights and liberties of their co-states will be exposed to no dangers by remaining embarked in a common bottom with their own, that they will concur with this Commonwealth in considering the said acts so palpably against the Constitution as to amount to an undisguised declaration that the compact is meant to be the measure of the powers of the general government, but that it will proceed in the exercise over these states of all powers whatsoever that they will view as seizing the rights of the states and consolidating them in the hands of the general government, with a power assumed to bind the states, not merely as the cases made federal, in all cases whatsoever by laws made, not with their consent, but by others against their consent, that this would be to surrender the form of government we have chosen and live under one deriving its powers from its own will and not from our authority, and that the co-states recurring to their natural right in cases not made federal will concur in declaring these acts void and of no force, and we will each take measures of its own for providing that neither these acts nor any others of the general government not plainly and intentionally authorized by the Constitution shall be exercised with their respective territories. And the final resolution is here. He says, ninth resolution, that the said committee be authorized to communicate by writing or personal conference at any times or places, whatever, with any person or persons who may be appointed by any one or more co-states corresponding to confer with them, that they lay their proceedings before the next session of assembly. Now, so it's really important that I point out that the reason he was pointing out that they have this ability to talk and communicate is because the Sedition Act was actually making it illegal to say certain things like this. And so they really considered this a huge threat, and people were going to jail. It's the same thing today, folks, but people have been dying. Lavoie Finicum is dead. For what? For standing up for liberty. And I am telling you If we do not get together and get these states, and all we need is one state to lead, if we can get Wyoming, if we can get Tennessee, if we can get Kansas, if we can get one state to lead, I'm hoping in 2019 I have the conversation occurring in several states that the problem is who's going to be there first, that there's going to be such competition amongst these states when they recognize, when they have the epiphany that they already have the authority to fix the problem, who will be the first to cross the line to say, hey, let's pull together. I think it'd be great to see three or four of them already pulling together as they cross the line together. That way we can easily ramp up to getting to the requisite necessary states of 13 and more to literally start shutting down the federal tyranny that we're living under. And if you want to get into the details, again, I have my academic argument at reclaimingtherepublic.org. It's right there on the homepage. The very top set of bullets is that argument. The next set of bullets is the description of the process of Republic Review. And if you go back and read what I just read, then you will understand exactly what I'm doing. And it's exactly, this is not my brilliance. I'm just the guy that was able to extrapolate it. And fortunately, I've had to copyright this, because if somebody stole this, they would bury it. And so anyway, I am G.R. Mobley. I am Reclaiming the Republic with your help. And so please help us continue to grow this show, and we'll be back tomorrow. God bless. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.